this conversation is done so often. And it's not up to me to necessarily try and come up with a whole new angle to it or a unique pattern. The reality is that it's okay to go back to the basics. It's okay to dive into what God's word says about a topic that we might have heard a million times before, and try and just ask the Holy Spirit to share something new to us. My tendency is to ramble, to come up with a big, in-depth idea, to cover a lot of different things. But instead, I tried to take the topic of prayer, and specifically Jesus' example of prayer, as an active and alive part of his everyday life, and just reflect on it within my own life. The reality is that Jesus relied on prayer with his Heavenly Father for everything that he did, and so must we. And first, let's establish what prayer is really quick. And in my opinion, I believe that prayer is simply being with our Heavenly Father. And that can look like a variety of different things. It means allowing our Heavenly Father into every aspect of our life. It means conversing with God, listening to God, and making time to understand God's will. Jesus models prayer for us approximately 25 times throughout the written Gospels. And this is Jesus directly praying. He talks different times about prayer, but it's recorded at least 25 times where Jesus specifically prays, and they wrote, and the people that wrote the Gospels wrote that down. I provided each of you with the words of Jesus within his prayers. There might be some that I missed, but I tried to kind of consolidate as many as I could, and so you have that in front of you, and I'll get to that in a little bit. And you can feel free to look through your own Bible or your own translation if you feel more comfortable doing that. And throughout the next few minutes, feel free to read through each time Jesus prays. Look for patterns. Ask God to point out to you one or two of the prayers that stand out to you. Ask God to challenge you this morning. We'll have a chance to share our thoughts at the end of this, so feel free to jot some notes down. And we're going to take a different approach when diving into the topic of prayer. I'm going to try and keep it more relaxed. I have way less slides. I don't go in depth about the rest of the Bible, but simply wanted to focus on Jesus, on his life, and how he models for us what daily and active prayer looks like. So take a deep breath, and I think I need to tell myself to do that as well. Maybe close your eyes. Ask God to clear your thoughts. Take a second to glance at the pages of Jesus' prayer, and let's dive into what I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to hear this morning. About a week ago, I called my dad, who's sitting right there, and my dad has preached a million times, so I like to call him and just ask for a little bit of advice when I go into preaching. And at the time, I was prepared to do this big, in-depth commentary about what prayer is and pick a passage and break it apart. And instead, my dad just said, why don't you, because I had already had the chart done, I had already had what you have in front of you done, and my dad just said, why don't you just spend this was Sunday afternoon. My dad just said, why don't you spend the next two or three days and just meditate on the prayers of Jesus? And then the Holy Spirit will give you the sermon from there. And so it was a little bit nerve-wracking because I had a busy week, and then to have to pile it all in after, in a few days was tricky. But at the same time, I truly believe that the Holy Spirit was speaking to me as I listened to the prayers of Jesus. And I just wanted to kind of share with you about what I learned while I was reading through the prayers of Jesus, and then there's a few challenges at the end that we'll get to. I wanted to attempt to get in the headspace of Jesus, or in the least his disciples as they journeyed with him. It was incredible to see some of the patterns that Jesus had as he made every effort to walk hand in hand with his Heavenly Father. I truly believe that Jesus saw such an incredible value in keeping an open communication with his Heavenly Father. In every big event, in every situation, Jesus spoke with his Heavenly Father. He wants us to do the same. So often we think of prayer as just something we do. We pray before meals because it's just custom. Maybe we're at small group and we bow our heads to pray, but the struggles of the day take over our minds and we forget that we're even praying. I cannot tell you how many times I've fallen asleep while praying. As I was reading each of the moments that it is recorded that Jesus prayed, three patterns arose in my mind, although I would say that there are many more, and you might discover those for yourself as you're looking through them. within each pattern was a challenge for me and that I want to share with you in hopes of challenging you. Through all this, Jesus models for us the habit of prayer. He shows us that making prayer a priority is crucial to any Christian's life. We often look at the Lord's Prayer as Jesus' example of prayer. And I'm not saying that's not an example. In fact, that's a really great way of learning about prayer. But I believe this was only one way that Jesus showed us how to pray. I believe that Jesus lived out the habit of prayer in his daily ministry, every day of his life, every action that he did. And this was recorded in the Gospels. And it shows us that despite how busy, how popular, and how stressed we get, we can still make time for prayer. Jesus allowed his Heavenly Father into his everyday life, illustrating to us and challenging us to do the same. The three patterns that I noticed within the prayers of Jesus are this. Jesus made it a priority to pray alone. He made a habit, no matter how busy he was, to go away to a desolate place to speak with his Heavenly Father. The second pattern was that Jesus prayed before, during, and after major events. And finally, Jesus wrestled with God, but no matter what, he allowed his Father's will to be done in his life. So let's go through the first pattern here that I was challenged by as I meditated on the words of Jesus, on the prayers of Jesus. Jesus made every effort to go to a desolate place and pray. These included times where there were numerous people around him, times where he was tired, and times where he was busy. We'll take a look at a few of these times. One of the prayers that really stood out to me was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus is just about to be taken to be crucified. And there's so much we can tear apart from this. And remember, I'm trying not to go and tear it apart too much. But I just want to read this for you. You have it in front of you. It's up on the screen. You can pull open your own Bible. It's there. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise, let's be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." I of all the passages that I read as I meditated on this week, this was the one that challenged me the most. And three times in this passage, we see Jesus specifically leaving to pray. At one point, he takes with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. He did not stay with them, however, but went farther and prayed. Jesus was troubled due to what he knew was coming next, but he wanted to make sure that he spent time with his Heavenly Father. As we read farther into this passage, we see that Jesus repeatedly goes off on his own during that evening. He makes an effort, despite the stress of knowing what was about to happen, to spend time alone. And Jesus doing this is nothing new, and we're going to look at a few more verses that we see Jesus going off alone to pray. In Mark 1:35, it says, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place where he prayed." Mark 6:30, "The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done, and he said to them, 'Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while.'" Here Jesus is challenging his disciples to do the same. He says, "Go to a desolate place, be alone, spend time with our Heavenly Father." In Mark 6:46, and similarly in Matthew 14:23, "And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray." Luke 4:42, "And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place, and the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. Luke 5, but now even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. And finally, perceiving then they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain himself. There's more examples. These are just a few that I wanted to show you, that Jesus made it a habit to go off alone, even if there were crowds around him, even if there were people literally wanting to take him away to make him king, as it says there. Jesus made an effort to go and be with his heavenly Father. Prayer does not always have to be a task, but often means simply being with God, as Jesus illustrates. As I looked at these examples, I was convicted of the numerous times that I avoided spending time with God. I was able to relate more to the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane who fell asleep than I was to Jesus himself. So often I get distracted or I'm so tired that I do not pray alone. I like to think that I spend time with God, which I do, but when I make the effort to specifically pray and spend time alone with my Heavenly Father, it often results in my mind wandering. In me falling asleep as the disciples did, or in me starting to pray and getting interrupted. I'm not trying to suggest that I never am able to get through my own prayers, but it's often so difficult. There are times that it even simply becomes a chore and not something I even want to do. As I meditated on the many times that Jesus put effort into being alone, it made me realize that I need to do a much better job of doing this. A few years ago, I did a 10-month leadership program with Madiba. And the program set time apart at the beginning and the end to allow each participant to do a 3-day solo where we would camp alone on a lake. And we would only take our Bibles, our journals, and our thoughts. The idea of this was that we would literally go away, be by ourselves, and be forced to spend time with God. I was nervous going into this first one for a few reasons. Being outside alone for 3 days was kind of an intimidating thought for me at the time. What if a bear got me? Second, I was terrified of being bored and where my thoughts would take me. As I was out there, it became one of the most important moments in my entire Christian life thus far. Those 3 days reminded me that I was a child of God. I was able to wrestle with God about past mistakes. I was able to journal and pray over my thoughts. And I was able to ask the Holy Spirit to fill my life and captivate my attention. Those 3 days changed my life as I was able to start putting the past behind me and jump forward into a life dedicated to a Heavenly Father that loves me. It took me being left and alone in the woods for 3 days for me to experience the dramatic moment of redemption, forgiveness, and grace. We did a similar trip at the end of the 10 months, and it wasn't as dramatic, but it still was a time of refreshment. Now, I'm not saying this story to suggest that you go out for 3 days into the woods by yourself, although, by all means, if you want, do it, and I could even get you a canoe and stuff that you need. What I am trying to suggest is that it took me to that point of being alone, having no place to go, and being forced to spend time with my thoughts and in prayer, that God was able to push through into my life. It reminded me that Jesus would often do things like this, even going for 40 days once, as Julia talked about last week. God wants to get our attention, yet we're often so distracted with everything going on that we forget to allow God to enter our minds. Sure, we can pray before bed, we can pray before our meals, and we can even wake up early and do our devotions. These are all great. But what God truly wants is to captivate our full attention. This means taking time to be alone with God. And as soon as we do this, I guarantee he will speak to you. If anyone knows me, you know that I sometimes struggle with hearing. When I'm in a crowd, there's numerous different sounds coming into my ears, and my brain has a hard time picking up the specific voice that is talking to me. I have a very hard time. I heard that. I have a very hard time picking up the specific voice that is speaking to me. And it can result in people, or in not hearing people, even if they are yelling my name. I have to get to either a quiet place or look directly into the person's face in order to understand and hear what they are saying. And I think this idea is similar to my prayer life. There's so much outside noise coming into my ears. And this takes away from the one voice that matters most, God's. And I believe the devil also tries to throw this excess noise into our minds. He tries to interrupt us. He tries to distract us. He tries to pull us away from our prayers. Instead, God wants us to go to a quiet place where that outside noise is gone. He wants us to look directly into his face and wait to hear his voice. In order to hear God's voice, we need to clear out the excess noise that our brain makes or that the devil throws at us, this excess noise of our day-to-day life. We need to rid ourselves of this noise, go be alone, and allow our Heavenly Father voice to enter into our lives. This means being alone no matter what. And it could look different for each person. Maybe you don't have to go out into the woods and do a solo, but it's a necessity, and Jesus shows us this countless times again in the Gospels. The second pattern that I noticed as I repeatedly read through the prayers in the Gospels was that Jesus would often pray before, during, and after major events in his life and ministry. There are several accounts of this specifically, and I would argue that even if it wasn't specifically recorded in the Gospels, Jesus did this for almost every moment in his life. Remember, he's not writing the Gospels. There's other people writing for him, so they might not have recorded everything that he did. And I really believe that Jesus made prayer this alive part of every single action that he did. Let's take a look at a few of the times where it was recorded that Jesus would do this. In Mark 7, it says, "And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to them, 'Ephphatha,' that is, 'be opened.' And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly." This is while Jesus is healing a deaf man. In Luke 3, we see Jesus praying at his baptism. "Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened." In Luke 6, Jesus prays before calling the disciples. This is right before he goes to Simon and right before he goes to the disciples. "In those days, he went up to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God." We see a few more in Luke 9. Jesus prays at the transfiguration. And in Luke 10, Jesus rejoices at God's work after he sends out the 72 disciples. In Luke 23, Jesus prays while on the cross. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." In Luke 24, Jesus prays at his ascension. "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them." In John 6, Matthew 14, Mark 6, Luke 9, Jesus prays before feeding the 5,000. This is one of his, again, well-known miracles, and each one of the gospel writers records Jesus praying and giving thanks before the miracle of feeding the 5,000. And again, with Jesus feeding the 4,000. John 11, Jesus prays before rising Lazarus from the dead. The point is that in so many actions that Jesus did, he brought his Heavenly Father into the work that he was doing. And I think that was so powerful. Each one of these moments in Jesus' life and ministry, he brings his Heavenly Father in. And this pattern that I saw brought about a major challenge for me in my life. I often try and do so much on my own, and I do not ask the help of my Heavenly Father nearly as much as I should. As I looked at each time that it is recorded where Jesus would pray before a miracle, during an event, or even after an event, rejoicing, such as in Luke 10, it made me realize that my Heavenly Father is not nearly as active in my life as he was in Jesus' life. Now, you might be saying, "Chris, don't be so hard on yourself. Jesus was the Son of God. He was in tune with God, and that's why he spent so much time praying." Well, yeah, Jesus was the Son of God, but he purposely gave us the example of how to make prayer an active part of our lives. And as we challenge ourselves to make prayer an active part of our life, it becomes easier to humble ourselves for every event that comes into our life. There are so many times that I plan an event. Maybe I'm planning the March break day camp that King's runs. Maybe I'm planning an itinerary for a trip, or I'm just, you know, going about my day. And I forget, or I think that I don't have time to set apart time to just ask the Heavenly Father into that event. I forget to take the time to pray, to ask God for help in planning it. Jesus offers us the perfect example of how he never forgot to bring his Heavenly Father into every event he was doing. And it goes beyond just the bigger events. Like, we can pray before going into, you know, running a conference or whatever that you're doing. But he also wants us to pray for the little things too, and make prayer this daily thing. Not even just daily, like every moment, every action that we do, just having that conversation with our Heavenly Father. And it doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be, you know, getting down on your knees, although you can do that. It can often just be this small little prayer. And as you saw in some of those verses, sometimes it was just a few words that he said. But when we do that, Jesus meets us in each moment. And you can see how much Jesus was able to do in his ministry as he relied on the Heavenly Father, as he relied on his Heavenly Father. I remember a story of a close friend of mine. He was part of a seminary in Louisiana. And as part of this program, he was a part of the planning for this outdoor conference. He told me that countless hours were spent planning for this large event. It was supposed to be, you know, thousands of people coming to hear, you know, at this Christian conference. And as the time drew near, this weather radar began calling for a major tropical storm. And in Louisiana, those things can get pretty nasty. And my friend told me that instead of simply canceling the event, they chose to rely on God and bring him into the conversation. They got together to pray, and they went on with the conference. He told me that while the conference was going on, they had experienced absolutely no bad weather. The sun was shining. Everything was normal. They were able to do everything as planned. After the conference was done, my friend was shown this satellite picture, and everywhere around the area where the small, like, stadium was, where the conference was, there was the storm. But in that tiny little spot, there was no storm. And I don't think that was a coincidence. I don't think that was just a hole in the clouds, although, you know, maybe you think that. I truly believe that because they relied on God, because they brought our Heavenly Father, into that moment, that God was able to meet them there and clear those clouds away so that the conference could go on. Instead of just canceling it and not praying and having that conversation with God, they relied on God, and God was able to do this incredible thing, the same way he did in Jesus' life and ministry. I was reminded of this story as I was reflecting on the way in which Jesus brought God into everything he did. And instead of going about my day relying on my own strength, relying on the many tasks that have to be done, it's crucial that I take that moment to bring God into the conversation. It's funny, this morning as I was trying to print all these pages off, the printer jammed. And I'm not good with printers. It's not something, in fact, they're often my nemesis. And I prayed over the printer. Now, it's still jammed, so Paul, we're going to have to fix that. But it's interesting how you can bring God into even those small moments where the printer jams and you're, you know, running around trying to get things going. God wants to meet us there. God wants to. And amazing things can be done when we just allow God into every action that we do. The third pattern that I was drawn to as I meditated over Jesus' prayer was that there were so many times that Jesus wrestled with his Heavenly Father. There are times where Jesus was upset, burdened, and stressed. I think sometimes we think of Jesus as the Son of God, which he is, and we forget to think of Jesus as entirely human as well. Jesus felt pain. He felt stress. He felt burdened. And there were so many times where he brought this to his Heavenly Father, where he knelt down on his knees, where he would just cry out to his Heavenly Father and ask for that burden to be lifted from him. He didn't want to take all this on, but yet he knew that the will of the Father was far greater than the human feelings that we have. Jesus illustrates times where he asks his Father for support, but no matter what, he was always able to accept the will of his Heavenly Father, no matter how painful that task might be. And Jesus illustrates to us this routine of prayer in all aspects of his life. In Matthew 11, Jesus thanks God. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." In Mark 15, Jesus prays again while on the cross. And this is a different, this is another gospel recording of what Jesus said on the cross. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" As Jesus is on the cross, he didn't want to be there, but he knew that the will of his Father was far greater than the pain that he was experiencing. Luke 22, Jesus prays for Peter right before Peter denies him. In John 11, Jesus prays before rising Lazarus from the dead. And again in John 12, Jesus, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." I find it absolutely incredible to picture the Son of God accepting the will of his heavenly Father, no matter how difficult it is. This is also a very challenging thought in my own life. I sat there this week reflecting on the numerous times that there's been something in my life that I've had to decide. Countless times where I've had to wrestle with God about what to do or not to do, for that matter. Some of them are more major than others. For example, I spent time at Trent University for a couple of years. And during that time, near the end of that time, I knew that I was in the wrong place. But I was wrestling with God with how hard it would be to leave. I knew it was right. I knew it was right for me to leave. But I would melt down every night, completely broken about how to get out of that situation. I had to trust in the will of my Heavenly Father. I had to trust in the fact that he knows the plan for my life and that it isn't my place to challenge that, even if it is difficult to do. And it's amazing what happened as I, after I left that place. I was able to live with a really great Christian friend of mine. I was then able to do that leadership program at Madiba. That's where I met Melissa, my fiance. And, you know, it's amazing what happens when you just give in to the will of God and allow God to just enter in. But it's hard. And God sometimes is pulling you out of something or into something that you don't want to do. As I sat reflecting on this, I tried to put myself in Jesus' shoes as he was battling with things. Imagine Jesus while he's sitting in the Garden of Gethsemane. Imagine Jesus had said, "You know what, God? I don't think I'm going to go to the cross. That's not going to be fun. I know it's your will, but I don't want to." We all know that this did not happen, but at the same time, I do not think that it is that far-fetched in our own life. As I reflected on this, it made me think about the times that I've had similar conversations where I think, "Why, God? I don't want to do that, God." And then I choose to ignore the will of God. I was convicted by this. Jesus chose to accept the will of his heavenly Father despite the guaranteed pain and hardships that he had to take on. He accepted the will of his heavenly Father, and through his commitment to communicating with his Father, he was able to understand how important God's will was. I love how Jesus would communicate with his Father the pain that he was feeling. He didn't try and hide that pain. He didn't try and hide that pain from God. He told God how he was feeling. He knelt down before God. But he also knew, by being in tune with God, that God's will is not always easy. Sometimes it is. Sometimes we get to do awesome things, but sometimes it's not. And I hope that I can also do this throughout my life, in every moment of my life. It doesn't always have to be major things. It's also sometimes the smaller things, too. But it takes that constant routine of conversation with our Heavenly Father, as Jesus demonstrates. And as we do this, as we get into that habit, we get rid of that outside noise, and we trust in the will of God. We're able to get through any and all things that Jesus calls us to do, no matter how hard it is. So as I said, when I was first given this topic, my mind started going everywhere, wondering how I would go about preaching about it. There's so many different angles to prayer. I could have dove into the Lord's Prayer. I could have dove into John 17, Jesus' high priestly prayer, which you have in your sheets. There's so many different ways that I could have done this. And after talking to my dad and praying about it, I was able to just go back to the basics. I was able to go through Jesus' prayers, the times where the Son of God prayed to his Heavenly Father and just ask what God wanted me to hear this week, what God was challenging me with this week. And I don't know if any of this connects with you, but I just wanted to share what was challenging me and hope that something stood out to you guys and challenged you. Through studying and reflecting on the example Jesus gives us within his own prayer life, it was clear to me that Jesus made prayer, that conversation with his Heavenly Father, an extremely large part of his everyday life. Even though there are roughly 25 recorded times, Jesus made it something that he did every moment of every day. I truly believe that. And it became so natural. That routine came so natural to Jesus. And he sets that example for us. Prayer does not have to be something that is a burden, that is difficult. It does not have to be prayer does not have to be a burden. But what it does have to be is a constant conversation with our Heavenly Father every moment of every day. And that's hard. And it takes a habit. It takes committing to that routine as Jesus did. It seems like a simple fact, but I believe that it makes an incredible difference. Even this week, as I was meditating on these prayers, I was reminded to bring Jesus into every action that I did. And yeah, I'm sure I missed a lot of those times, but it became more aware. And I pray that even next week and the week after and the week after that I can get more and more into that routine. We're not perfect, and I'm not perfect, but I know that Jesus meets us where we're at, and we can commit to making prayer that routine. The three patterns that I pointed out to you today are simply ones that I was challenged by. And I believe that there are many more, and that's why I wanted to give you those papers to look at and take home with you. My challenge to you is to take that paper, and I think there's enough. If not, I can photocopy some more, except it's jammed, so I can give you more next week. But yeah, take that paper, and each day this week, pray through each of the prayers of Jesus. If you'd like to use a different translation, you can do that. Consider Jesus' life as you read through his prayers. Put yourself in Jesus' shoes as he was melting before God in the Garden of Gethsemane. Imagine what it was like for Jesus as he blessed the bread and the fish before feeding the thousands. Imagine the pain Jesus was feeling as he prayed for Lazarus, but then the joy as he saw Lazarus rise from the dead. Jesus, the Son of God, made conversation with his Heavenly Father an absolute necessity in his life, and this percolated through everything that he did. So Jesus made it a priority to pray alone. That's the first pattern. And my challenge in that is make praying alone a daily habit, no matter where you are. The second pattern is Jesus prayed before, during, and after major events. And that challenge is ask your Heavenly Father to join you in the decisions and events of your life. And finally, Jesus wrestled with God, but ultimately allowed his Father's will to be done. The challenge is living God's will is not always easy, but we are called, like Jesus was, to do the will of our Heavenly Father. So as you read through the prayers, put yourself in the sandals of Jesus. Challenge yourself about what God might be speaking to you about your own prayer life. Maybe God is trying to get your attention, but your mind is clouded with all the many things you have to do each day. Maybe you don't spend time going off alone to simply stop and listen. Maybe you do so much but forget to bring God into each and every decision and task you have before you. Or maybe God is trying to tell you to go somewhere, trying to tell you to give something up, trying to tell you to do something, but this task is difficult and you just want to wrestle with God and tell him no. Allow the will of God to percolate every action, every decision that you do. God's will is heard through our conversation with him, through our prayer with him. Jesus shows this by making it a routine to make conversation with God an absolute daily necessity. That not only does prayer become crucial, but incredible things can happen. Challenge yourself this week. It only takes about 5 to 10 minutes to read over the prayers that I gave you. Maybe you could even take a journal or write on the actual paper your thoughts. There's a little space at the end that there's some notes. But take 5 to 10 minutes each day this week. Use that time to listen to the will of God, to consider your own prayer life, to challenge yourself to do better in whatever area you struggle with, and to ask God for forgiveness and grace as you make prayer an active conversation with an incredible, understanding, wise, gracious, and beautiful God. I did that this week, and I'm going to try and continue to do so. It's amazing how much God wants to show you if you just allow your ears to be open by communicating your thoughts and feelings to God. After this week, don't just stop doing that, but consider making this routine of prayer an ongoing thing. Maybe you look at how the disciples prayed, or maybe you dive into other parts of prayer, or you can use that paper every week if you want to. As a church, let's support each other in this. Let's challenge each other to make prayer a daily routine, to get back to what Jesus was trying to show us. I do want to pray to conclude this, but as I do, consider some of the things on your mind, even right now, as the topic is fresh on your mind. After prayer, and I think one more song, we're going to have a time of sharing our thoughts. Share some of the things that maybe are going through in your mind about prayer. Maybe share some of the practical steps that that you use in order to make prayer that routine. Maybe there's a verse on that page that's standing out to you. So I want to give you a time to just share what's on your mind, and I'll call the worship team up just as I close in prayer. We're all in this together, so let's take some time. Let's pray. Dear God, you are so good. And even during this crazy busy week, even during this the heat of the summer, you meet us where we're at. And I know that there's so many times where I forget to pray, or I forget to bring you into my life. And I know that you have grace. And I just pray that as a church and as people here, that we can make prayer this daily routine of our life, that we can set time to be alone with God, that we can set time to bring God, or to bring you, into every aspect of our life, and that we can set time to ask your will and to do your will, even if it's difficult. So I pray for that this week, and I pray that this week, as we continue to go through the prayers of Jesus, that you just show us your will and show us what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.